today on Anchored in the Word.
And we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. The difference is some of us carrying those around with us, and we're headed to a bad place with them, and God wants to alleviate that. He wants to take that burden from you. He already died for that, to carry it for you. But you need to appropriate that. You need to ask Christ to come into your life. And then those of us that have already done that, we realize that, you know, the things that we read about, this wrath of God, is something that's a reality.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman. Though the wages of sin are death, Pastor Bill teaches today how God has mercifully provided a way to escape His wrath. Through Christ's blood that was sacrificed on the cross, we're given the opportunity to live eternally with Him. Through accepting Jesus, the weight of our sin can be cast aside, and we can live freely in Him. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. But for now, here's Pastor Bill.
This is a subtle thing, but I just want to throw this out at you here. That the best worship songs, and by the way, this is an inspired one, this is in the Bible, they don't get any better than that. All the Psalms, right, are songs, right? But if you look at these songs, the lyrics of this song, they're all about Him. If you'll check that out, it's very important because that's what true worship is. The focal point is the Lord. And then the person singing to the Lord will be blessed by that. But remember, if you're around the throne, we're singing to Him. We're singing to an audience of one. So it makes sense that we wouldn't be singing about ourselves, you know. And a lot of worship songs are like that. They're all about the person that's singing. We love you, Lord. I mean, it's all about us. And then I love that song, by the way. That doesn't mean everything that's like that is wrong, but when it becomes too one-sided, it's wrong, right? It becomes all about us. I'm going to do this for you, Lord. I'm going to do that for you, Lord, or however else. And it's like, okay, what are we really worshiping here, you know? True worship, and we see it here, those of you that are aspiring songwriters, God gives people songs. And I believe if he's gonna, you know, we use the term, that's an anointed song. You know, we have that term for things, you know. I'm going to tell you something. If it comes from God, it's going to be about God, guaranteed. It's not going to be about you. You know, we're already too obsessed with ourselves. He knows what he doesn't want to give us something more so we can obsess even more. So check it out. All that's being said, or it's all about Him. See, I don't have need of, you know, people say things like, oh, I got to find myself. No, you don't. Believe me, that's the last thing you need to know, the truth about yourself. You'd be depressed for the rest of your life if you really knew the truth. What you need, first and foremost, is to find who God is. You'll know who you are in light of Him, but then there'll be hope for your meaningless self, in a sense. You know what I mean? You'll find your worth in Him. And He knows that about us. So that's why He wants to keep us focused on Him. That's what we see. That's what true worship is about. Him being the focal point. So we see that here. Now, I want you to know there's a kind of a parallel chapter because we think of the Song of Moses, and I want you to turn back to Exodus chapter 15. This is easy to remember because we got Revelation chapter 15. Now we're going to turn back to Exodus 15, right? Second book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, right? Look at 15. There was another Song of Moses going on there in Exodus 15. And here is the background of what happened. They were excited. The people of God were excited. And they had a lot to be excited about because what had just happened is God had delivered them from being in slavery from Egypt, right? He'd gotten them out through those plagues, remember? And then, not only that, once they'd broken clear of Egypt and they started through the wilderness there, Pharaoh's army was chasing them now to do them in. And they were trapped. You remember the story there in Exodus. They were trapped. Nowhere to go. And don't you know what God did? And those of you that have seen the Ten Commandments, you know, where he puts his rod out, Moses does, and the Red Sea parts. Man, what a miracle. On both sides, and there's like walls on both sides, walls of water. It says that they walk through on dry ground. And not only that, after they pass through, Pharaoh's army goes, oh, we'll just follow them right in there. The whole army goes in there. And then God says, no, I'm going to let the water go back. And it wiped out the whole army. You see, God took care of all their problems in one incident there, right there at the Red Sea. An amazing thing. And so, of course, the people are excited. When a great thing's happened, when God does this awesome thing, man, how can you not get excited? Oh, man, the Lord, you see what he just did? And people are excited about. And so they were singing, brought forth a song, you know. And there's the song later. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. He has his chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. And it goes on and on and on. They just can't help but sing. Now listen, it's interesting about this. Some people don't believe that. They don't believe that miracle actually happened the way that it's described. And some people try to downplay it. And by the way, you got to be careful about this because my very Bible, you know, the maps aren't inspired, folks. All right. I want you to know that the maps in the back aren't inspired. And if you look back, at least in my maps here in the back of my Bible, if you trace where the children of Israel went, the Exodus from Egypt. And what they did was they made the route not through the Red Sea. The routes don't go through the Red Sea. They go to the tip. There's a little bitty water. Looks like there's some marshland there, you know. And some say, well, you know what happened? There's marshland there, and then the wind was blowing strong. It says that in the Bible. And then it blew some of the water back. You know, low tide stuff. You know, we all seen low tide, high tide. Sort of a low tide thing happening with the wind blowing. And then the children of Israel went through the low tide. And thinking, okay, you want to believe that one? You still got a problem. Because how in the world does a whole army perish in a little marshland in 2 feet of water? Think about that. You still got a problem with a miracle, right? Folks, it's hard to believe. I understand that. You know, it did happen, though. It's a miraculous thing. Our God is capable of doing things like that. He makes statements. And there was a judgment coming over Pharaoh. I want to tell you something. Even as we talk about these seven plagues that are about to happen, next chapter, by the way, 16 is when it's going to happen. But remember back into Egypt, God did 10 things. Remember 10 plagues. Remember that? What was he doing? Was he just torturing the Egyptians? Is that what that was about? We serve a God who tortures people? No. He was giving them a chance to turn from the way that they've been going, to believe in this God that was in their midst and their people was in Pharaoh's midst. And they weren't getting it. And finally, they let his people go, but his heart was hardened. And he even changed his mind on that. He lets the people go after the death of the firstborn. And then lo and behold, he says, go get them. You know, what am I thinking? Go get them. And then God finally just wipes them out. He gave them all the chances in the world. And remember, they got wiped out because they didn't mind their own business and stay back there and let God's people go, right? That would have been a whole different ending for that army, for Pharaoh's army there. And so they had a choice to make, and they made a wrong choice. They went against the God of the universe, and it cost them. And as we talk about this, let's go back to Revelation 15, this idea of the wrath of God. We don't want to face that. And believe me, God doesn't want us to face it either. So we see 2, and 3 is the song, and 4 is the song. Now we get to verse 5 in Revelation 15. John now sees something else. He says, after these things, after I listened to the guitar playing or the harp playing and the singing, after these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. Remember the tabernacle on earth? Moses was given the exact specifications, like the blueprints, to how to make the tabernacle. And that was the tent version of the temple, where God's presence was. So they had to move it from one place to another. So it was like a tent. It was a tent, actually. But it had to be a certain size, and there had to be certain furnitures in there. And everything was prescribed by God, how it was to be moved around even, and how it was going to be laid out. Why was that so important to God? because that was his representation on earth. That was God's presence represented on earth. And he wanted to keep that picture of heaven because it was a model of the things in heaven. And he wanted for always keep before them the idea of heaven, the idea of God's presence, of where the person could be reminded that this isn't all there is. There's a greater reality than just the life that we're living here on earth, right? There's a spiritual component to our physical existence. I mean, yeah, you know, it's more than just this body, the skin that we have here. There's a spirit that lives in a person and a soul, and that's a part of us that goes on and on and on forever. You know, we're used to thinking of this life as a temporary thing, you know, where we see people living and then we see dead bodies, don't we, from time to time? We go to wakes, funerals, or whatever you call those, and we see that people cease to live in that body, right? But we know, because of the scriptures, that even then when a person departs, that's not the end of their existence. They've gone on. The Bible talks about it's appointed once for a man to die, you know, physically, but then the judgment, there's something more beyond the grave. And there's a judgment to come beyond the grave. But God says, I want my people to see my presence. And he did manifest himself there in the temple, the tabernacle on the earth. But what John now is in the one in heaven. He's not on the earthly tabernacle. He's looking at the one in heaven. He's up there. And this is what he sees coming out of the temple. He says, it was open, first of all, verse 5 tells us. Verse 6 says, and out of the temple came seven angels, having the seven plagues, that doesn't sound good, clothed in pure bright linen and having their chests girded with golden bands. They probably stand out in the group. And then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven bowls full of the wrath of God. Remember those four creatures that were flying around the throne room there, the throne. One of them then hands to these, each one of these seven angels, he hands them a bowl each full of the wrath of God. I can't even imagine that. You know, it made me think of, you know, how they handle radioactive material, the pains that they take, they put that stuff, encase it in lead and all this other stuff, and they, you know, put signs on it to protect that because it's poisonous, right? But we're talking about something even more powerful than radiation. We're talking about the wrath of God. I can't even imagine in a bowl, but he's given them each a bowl full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. Now, again, the power of God, the glory of God. There are times in the scriptures where we see that that God had manifested himself in such a way that the guys couldn't minister in there. You couldn't be around the presence of Almighty God. And the amazing thing about him, about his greatness and his glory, is he has toned that down. I mean, think about Sinai, Mount Sinai, when they were at the foot of the mountain, when Moses was getting the Ten Commandments. Remember that mountain? The whole time was shaking. There was fire. There was a big cloud had come down, and it was rumbling. And the people couldn't even approach because they would have died from being in the presence of Almighty God. You know the amazing thing about God is? One of the things is he has toned down who he is, and he did it through his son that we could understand who God is. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, Jesus said. He's toned himself down so we could understand who God is as much as we can through his son, Jesus. He's toned it down for us. But when the wrath of God is poured out, remember, we've already seen it early on in Revelation, when the things are happening on the earth, the people are going to be trying to hide from him. Hide us under the rocks, that's the last place you'd ever think you want to be under a landslide with big mountains and rocks falling on you. That's where they were trying to go to get away from him, the wrath of the Lamb, it says, but there was nowhere to hide. And these times are coming. Verse 16 says, then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. And I'm going to tell you something. This is a huge moment in time right here. There's a finality to this in verse 1 of chapter 16. But I can guarantee you this, about as much as we know about God, he's not happy at that point. God's not happy. Oh boy, finally getting rid of these sinners that won't follow me. This is it. They're done with. The reality is there is a finality to that, right? But he's not happy about it. We know that about God because the Bible says that he doesn't take pleasure in his heart is that none would perish, that all would come to repentance. That's who he is. We know that about him. And he even tells us, he says, when your enemies are judged, don't get happy about that. Do not be happy about that because that's not the heart of God. This was a sad day for God in the sense he's a God that's just. He doesn't have to apologize. He's not going to have to explain why his wrath was poured out. He's judging sin because remember, if you're a Christian here, you're going to benefit from this eventually. He's eradicating the sin of the world to make it so that there's going to be a place where there's only righteousness. He has to deal with that before we can get to the rest of the picture, to your future, to your bright future. But the sad part of verse 1 of chapter 16 is that there will be some people that will perish when this happens. There's the twofold message in this for us today is if you're not a Christian, you need to come to Christ before the day of wrath comes, whenever that will be, it's appointed once for a man to die, before you die. You need to come to Jesus so you can escape the wrath to come. It's either going to be the great white throne judgment. When you get there, everybody perishes. There's not going to be a line that goes to the saved line. That's where everybody perishes. We'll learn about that in the coming weeks ahead in Revelation. But remember, the other place that we go is to the cross, right? You appropriate that free gift that was given by Christ. You think, why doesn't everybody receive him? I mean, come on, it's a free gift. You know, he's not asking you to go get nailed to the cross. He's not asking you to bleed for your sins. He's not asking you for you to take the wrath of, or the sins of the world on your shoulders. You know, it's bad enough that you're trying to take your own sin on your own shoulders. That's more than any one sinner can bear. Remember that before you came to Christ? I got used to the backpack I was carrying, I guess. Got used to being miserable. But then the day that I remember praying, I remember getting up one day and realized I felt lighter. This thing had happened. I just felt lighter. And I tell you, I didn't know enough theology to know what that was, all right? I just thought, I feel good today. I felt like lighter. But I learned later what that was. My sins have been forgiven. I wasn't carrying that sin load around on my back anymore. That was something, that was a reality that really happened. I didn't know that then. But there's some, maybe some of us in this room that are carrying that backpack of sin on the sins of their life. And we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. The difference is some of us carrying those around with us. And we're headed to a bad place with them. And God wants to alleviate that. He wants to take that burden from you. He already died for that, to carry it for you. But you need to appropriate that. You need to ask Christ to come into your life. And then those of us that have already done that, we realize that, you know, the things that we read about, this wrath of God is something that's a reality. And I'm going to heaven. I'm not because I'm a good person. I believe I'm going to heaven. I really believe that. I'm convinced of that. And it's not because I'm a good person. I'm a changed person. But even because of that, I'm not going because I've changed. That's not why I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven because I have a Savior that paid the way for me to go. He paid the ticket, if you will, for me to go. And I did choose to believe him in that. I chose to believe him and continue to believe him. The Bible says, to as many as received him, to those he gives the right to be the children of God, to those who believe in his name. So we don't go to heaven because we're good people. We go to heaven because we have a good Savior. And he's covered our sin. He bled and died for us. He took the very wrath of God upon himself on that cross for us so that we don't have to take it upon ourselves. But that's the message that you have. I hope you understand that if you're a Christian this morning. You understand that that's the place that you have with God and you've been reconciled to God because of that. Because sin separates you from God. But now that we're here, and the time, we don't know when it's coming, but I got to tell you, looking at the world, the things that are happening, I mean, it's accelerating. It seems we don't know the day or the hour, but it's got to be soon. It's got to be soon that Christ is coming back. How much time do we have left? And I think the message to the church is, I know that the message to the church is redeeming the time. You know, someone say, well, we got to be careful about this wrath of God after all, because it's going to turn some people off. You know, if we start talking about the wrath of God, and I thought, well, what about John the Baptist? I mean, he was all about the wrath of God, wasn't he? And he wasn't trying to tone his message down a little bit. You know, he was calling it like it was. You brought a vipers, you know, repent. It's like, John, that's a little harsh, isn't it? Well, listen, John had the Holy Spirit on him. And I would say to you that I've seen people in the subway, as a matter of fact, this one guy. I remember seeing him, and I was checking him out. He was preaching, man. He was preaching truth, too. It was truth. Everything that was coming out of his mouth, I was listening. It was all true. But he was standing there, and people are going by both ways, and he's not even, no eye contact. He's just giving them truth, man, you know, about repenting or burning, and, you know, all of that. He was giving them truth, but there was no connection at all with the souls that were going by, you know. And my first thought was, well, everything he's saying is true. But is he being led by this big God put him there? I mean, he's really not connecting with anyone. You know, just people are just hearing his stuff. And I say that to say, I can't judge his ministry, but I'm saying in my own ministry, what I've seen is that God gives you a supernatural connection somehow to people. You know, it's like being led by the Lord. Have you seen that different people respond to different things? There's no flow chart. Well, let me try this one. That didn't work, so we got to go to that. You know, the flow chart, like, you know, it's not that way. If we had a flow chart, it would be impersonal. We could put God out of it, right? God is always going to be a huge part of this. So what we do in the process is we depend on the Holy Spirit in each situation with each person, that he's going to give us the right word we need, the right thing to say. You get what I'm saying? And some people you got to pull from the fire. Some people you got to just tell them, you know, just got to be bold with them and just tell them what it is. You know what I'm saying? And some people, you know, you don't hide the truth from them, but we speak the truth in love. It's supernatural. You know, but the wrath of God is a real thing. It's really going to happen. And if we know that, if we believe that, we shouldn't hide that, right? This judgment that is to come. Because there is coming a day, it says there in verse 1 of 16, where the wrath, he says, go and pour it out. Go and pour it out. And so we're reminded once again of where are we standing? Where are we with the Lord today? It's important that we understand this, where we are with the Lord today. Because he loves us and he sent his son. In other words, he's done everything he could possibly do except make the choice for us. Right? He won't do that. Because if he did, he'd violate, it wouldn't be love then. You'd be a puppet. So we all have the choice to make to walk with Christ.
Thanks so much for joining us here on Anchored in the Word. It's such a blessing to bring you this sound Bible teaching every day. It's our prayer that Anchored in the Word is being used by God to further the growth and discipleship you're already experiencing at your church. Perhaps you're listening today and you don't have a home church. The messages you hear from Pastor Bill here on Anchored in the Word are produced from worship services at Calvary Chapel Coastlands. So, if today's message has blessed you and you don't have a home church, please join us for worship. For more information, log on to anchoredintheword.com and follow the link to the church website. We encourage you to join us next time as Pastor Bill continues teaching verse by verse through the book of Revelation. To learn more about Anchored in the Word, Pastor Bill, or Calvary Chapel Coastlands, log on to www.anchoredintheword.com. There you'll find helpful tools that you can use as you study God's Word. Again, our web address is anchoredintheword.com. Social media is such a big part of our lives these days. We encourage you to visit our Facebook page and become our Facebook friend. Log on to anchoredintheword.com and follow the link to our Facebook page. Or you can always give us a call. Our phone number here at Anchored in the Word is 732-544-2225. That's 732-544-2225. And don't forget to place a marker in your Bibles and join us again as Pastor Bill continues teaching through the book of Revelation.